Chez was struggling with something, but that was for Brother Frank. And I knew Brother Frank. I was like, well, thank God we healed you too. But it was God healed Brother Frank. God bless you. And let me just pause and just for a moment, and because I've got the microphone and I can, I just want to say I don't think it's an accident or coincidence, but Brother Frank, I don't know, last 2, 3, 4 months, he just really dialed back in, and he's been kingdom-minded and been doing things for the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you why it's dormant. I'll tell you why it's no longer dormant. It's not there. Is because you started putting God first and God started taking care of you. You'll never go wrong putting God first. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Glad that everybody's in the house of the Lord tonight. And we've been talking on Wednesday nights about a blessed life. And we've been talking about it on several Wednesday nights about living a blessed life and living a blessed life in our family, living a blessed life in our relationships, living a blessed life in our marriage and our ministry and our finances, living a blessed life in every aspect of our lives. I'm telling you, if we'll grab a hold of these principles, every service at the Abundant Life Center is always recorded. You can go on the podcast. You can jump on your smartphone. If it's not a smartphone, you can pray for it to become a smartphone. And you go into the podcast and you'll see ALC Media. Every service we have is recorded for you. So if you're driving down the road, if you're at home or whatever it is, you just turn that on. You can hear the words that have come through. If you'll listen to this study about living a blessed life, it will forevermore change your life. Anybody believe that today? I believe that. I want to live a blessed life. And so tonight, this is the last series. Someone said, thank you, Jesus. This is the last service series of a blessed life. We had a lady in our church in Oklahoma several years ago, Brother McIntyre. Her name was Sister Goldie. And she'd always just, you know, she'd always say, hallelujah, Jesus, all throughout the service. And she wouldn't miss a beat. And so one time, my father, thank you. Amen. This one was cutting out. That's why I kind of changed it. So hopefully you can change me on that. But one service, my dad said, we're not going to have service next Sunday. And Sister Goldie said, hallelujah, Jesus. Hopefully nobody said after I say this, our last lesson for a blessed life. Amen. Praise God. But I want to ask you a question tonight. We've already done 4 or 5 services of living a blessed life, and I want to live a blessed life. But I want you to be honest with yourself, and I want you to ask yourself this question. And this question is, am I generous? Not your neighbor, not your parents, not your brother, not your sinners, but are you generous? That's the question of the hour. Can God call you generous? Would you call yourself generous? John chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says this. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And then took Mary a pound of ointment and spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was this ointment not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Notice, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burial has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but she will not always have me. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. As right here in this passage, it displays two different hearts. A generous heart and a selfish heart. Mary's heart was displayed by extravagant giving. And Judas's heart was displayed by his selfish response to her gift. Why she could have sold this and given it to the poor. So then the next question is this. Why did Mary give so much? And why did Judas, why did it bother him so much? Can I tell you something tonight? That the enemy of generosity is selfishness. The enemy of generosity is selfishness. Because everybody is born selfish. Hate to burst your bubble. When you were born selfish. From the very beginning of your life, you were born selfish. It was inside of each and every one of us. We've heard that common word all throughout our lives. It's mine. I had it first. It belongs to me. It's mine. And there are even adults who've never grown out of that. They don't like to share. Why? Because it's theirs. And so selfishness is always about self. Selfishness promotes self. It protects self. It provides for self. It is self-preservation that only focuses on self. Selfishness tries to take the place of God. Selfishness tries to do it themselves. They don't need God. They just need self. Why? Because it's mine. I can do it by myself. And you see this develop and unfold in this passage with Judas. As we see Judas using this excuse. Why wasn't this sold and given to the poor? Our selfishness is many times displayed in the presence of generosity. Because he knew better than to say, you should have given this or kept it for yourself. But the true fact of the matter was that he was trying to cover up his own selfishness. Because Judas was looking for his kingdom. Judas was looking for his promotion. They all were. They all wanted to be the greatest. They all wanted the prestige. They all wanted the title. They all wanted to sit at the table. And even at the Last Supper, wasn't the discussion from the disciples, hey, Lord, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Who's going to get the good seats? And who's going to get the cheap seats? And in the Bible states in verse number 6, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the bag, and that bare what was put therein. He posed the question because he was a thief. Why don't you say that Judas was a thief? He held the money bag. He was in control of the finances. And Judas was taking money out of the box. Brother Rudy, who gave him the box? Who gave him control over the money bag? Doesn't give him access to his weakness, because we know that Judas was a thief. Jesus did not set him up for failure. He set him up to succeed. He gave him responsibility in the area of his weakness because Jesus was trying to help him overcome his weakness. I believe the Lord has tried to give you responsibilities. I believe the Lord has tried to put you over things. Even though you have failed and you have made wrong choices and bad decisions, and you weren't really the most trustworthy person. But I believe that God has given some men and given some women a second and a third and a fourth chance at life.
Hallelujah.
God was not setting Judas up to fail. No, God was setting Judas up to succeed over the area of his weakness. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this: there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, thank God, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. The Lord was trying to help him conquer the battle that raged on the inside of Judas. It wasn't meant to take him out. It wasn't meant to kill him. It was meant for him to overcome it. But the problem was, Judas couldn't get over it. Because, Brother Rudy, he was a thief. He was in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He heard the preaching. He heard the teaching. He was around the master. He saw the miracles. He saw the loaves. He saw the fishes. He saw it all. But still, Judas could not conquer his own selfish desires. Why? Because Judas was a thief. He was taking money out of the offering box. He was taking what did not belong to him. Judas was a thief. I have a question for you tonight. How many of you, during offering time, has ever taken money out of place? How many has ever tried to take change out? I've heard people try to take change out. But how many has really, you think about it, how many has taken money out of the plate? Probably very low percentage. Probably even never. But here's the question. Isn't it the same thing to not put money in the offering plate that belongs to God as it is to literally take it out? Judas couldn't get over this area in his life because he was a thief. He had it in his spirit. It was rooted deep down inside of him. It's mine. It's always mine. Nobody's going to take my money. It belongs to me. However, Mary gave extravagantly. And that's the opposite of selfishness. It gives extravagantly. The extravagance of generosity. John 12:3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? A pound of ointment of spikenard. Mary gave an offering that was worth extravagant gift? Would it be extravagant to take 1 year's salary just to buy perfume and just to pour it on somebody's feet? She poured over $100,000 of ointment on the feet of Jesus. I'm giving you a lot of questions, so here's another question. What gift could you give to God that could be extravagant? How much could you give to God to impress Him? $1 million? $100 million? $100 billion? Would that be extravagant? Would that impress Him? Before you say yes and name a figure that would be extravagant, let me remind you that He owns it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Let me remind you about His house. Streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. I submit to you tonight that there is no amount of money that you could ever give to God to impress Him. Because it's not about the money, it's not about the price, and it's not about the dollar amount, but it's all about how you give it. He's not concerned on how much it's worth, because we can't impress Him on that fashion, but we can impress God with how we give it to Him. We can impress Him how we bring it to Him. Not what we give, but how we give it. Without fear, without reluctancy. We can impress our Savior by how we give. We give it cheerfully. Why? Because He looks at our hearts.
That's right.
He looks at our spirits. A few years ago, I got a call. Sister Philpott, I won't say the name. I may have told you. I'm not sure if I did or not. I don't think I did, but maybe I did. I got a call. We had an evangelist with us, and we took an offering, and people were given sacrificially. And this one guy put in the offering plate his check for $1,000. And he called me the next day, and he said, "Hey, I meant to have my wife give $100. She added an extra zero. But I don't want it back. Just want you to know." I was like, uh-oh. He's giving out of reluctancy. But then I got a call a few days after that. He said, "Pastor, I wish I'd never called you." He said, "Because God just gave me a job that doubled what I gave." If you will learn, it's not about the dollar amount.
Right.
It's about how you give.
Amen.
Because when you give, it's an action of faith. And when you activate faith and you give it to God without fear, without doubting, without grudging, without reluctancy, God begins to bless you.
Hallelujah.
He looks at your heart. How you give it. Judas never got this because he was a thief. But Mary understood this because of what God did for Mary. 2 Corinthians 8 says this, "For to their power I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. As this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Can I tell you, give yourself. Giving yourself is the most extravagant gift that you could ever. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto his disciples, and saith unto you, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all that they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her wealth did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Her offering was in today's dollar about a half of a penny. People don't pick up pennies anymore. I still do. My grandma taught me that. I even heard a preacher one time say, when you see a penny or a nickel or a dime or a quarter on the ground, if you pick that up, what you're saying is, God, there's fixed to be blessings coming my way. You may get your eye on the penny, on the nickel, on the dime, on the quarter, but my eyes are on bigger than that. God, if you put money in a fish's mouth, I know you can make a way for me. I know with men it's impossible, but not with you, God, because all things are possible to him that believes. Everything you do is a matter of faith. You say, well, I don't got faith. The Bible says every man has been given the measure of faith. But not every man uses their faith. I had someone ask me the other day, well, Pastor, how much faith? You went to Bible college. How much faith can you tell I have? I said, really? The only way you know how much faith you have is during the test. Because when everything's going well, you really don't need faith. But it's when you got a need. It's when you realize you look in the barrel and all you got is enough oil to make one cake, and you're going to eat that cake and die. And you realize, I'm not going to eat it myself, but I'm going to give it. You think of the audacity of the man of God that knew she had enough oil left to make one cake, and the audacity of a preacher that said, make me that cake. Let me eat that cake. He said, I can't believe that. I ain't going to that church. That pastor's eating all their chocolate cake. I remember a couple years ago, I just posted on Facebook. I just said, you know what? I'd love to have a chocolate cake today. And wouldn't you know it, just a couple hours later, I had two people knock on my door and said, Pastor, we just want to make you a chocolate cake. I may post that again really quick. Hallelujah. But the man of God said, I want you to make me that cake. And I don't see anywhere, Sister McIntosh, where that lady was reluctant, where she was fearful, where she worried or complained or murmured. I just realized that she made the cake to the preacher and gave it. She gave what she had. She activated faith because the man of God says, make me that cake. And because she made that cake, we all know the rest of the story, that her barrel never went dry. If you put your money in the stock market, it's going to make you worry, cause you sleepless nights.
That's right.
You put your money in a car, whatever it is, it's going to let you down.
That's right.
But you put your money in a heavenly bank account, where rust and moth does not corrupt, and you put your faith in a God that said, prove me that I won't open up windows of heaven and bless you. I'm not in it for the blessings. I'm just in it because he blessed me. And because he blessed me, I want to give it back to him, because he controls everything that comes and everything that goes. That's what Job said.
though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, because he gives and he takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank God for that. There are three levels of giving the Bible. I've got to hurry. Three levels of giving the Bible. Tithes, offering, and extravagant offerings. Most Christians never get beyond the first level. And most don't even tithe. They just tip and call it a tithe. Remember, I asked the question, when we take something that belonged to the Lord, but if we don't put it in and we call it tithing, but we're just tipping, we're lying. And I believe there was two people that died at the feet of the disciples because they were trying to showcase, I sold the property. And they said, why would you lie to the man of God? We didn't ask you to give us all the proceeds, but you uttered it. You got to be careful what you call tithe. But every person who usually gets the first level gets the second level. Then God speaks at times and calls us to give extravagantly. And Mary gave extravagantly. She did not know why she was giving this, but she felt to, and she was led to give. Do you realize that this is the only anointing that his body ever got for his burial? He died as the Sabbath was coming, so they quickly took him off and buried him. And the ladies were returning the first day of the week to anoint him with 100 pounds of spices. Mary gave 1 pound of ointment. And these ladies ran with 100 pounds of spices. They ran with an extravagant offering. And there became a reward of generosity. This is the exact same story we read in John 12, but it's in Mark chapter 14, verse 3 through 9. Let me read it again. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation with themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Not just Judas. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Verse 7. For ye have the poor with you always. And whatsoever evil ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She had done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily, I say unto you, that wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she had done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. She came not expecting a reward. She wasn't doing this to become famous. She came to honor the Lord. Why would she do this? Why would she bring this offering? I'll tell you why she did it. Her brother had just been raised from the dead 2 months before. Don't you think that changed her perspective? Don't you think she was thankful because the Lord raised up her brother from the dead? Let me quickly remind you that you have been raised from the dead. Ephesians 2, 1 through 6. And you have been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, at the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, when we were no good knuckleheads, doing the wrong things, going the wrong places, hath quickened
6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's rewarded to them that diligently seek him. Can I tell you, God is a rewarder. This is the only place in the Bible where this word is used. He is a rewarder. Brother Alex, you can come. This is a combined word meaning, first, to pay wages, and secondly, to reward over and above. We don't give to get, but we give because of what he has done for us. And when we do, it's the law of the harvest. You'll never negate the law of the harvest. He gives back. He rewards. What you give, what you sow, you will reap. Don't give out of drudgery. Don't give out of obligation. But give out of love. Because when we give, he rewards. I don't know about you, but I've got a lot to be thankful of tonight. I don't know where God has brought you. I don't know exactly what God has delivered you out of. But I know tonight you're in the house of God. I know tonight you listen to worship. The songs that we sang, you felt the moving of his spirit, and you've heard his word. To rejoice. We've got a reason to love him. We've got a reason to be thankful. Would you stand feet with me tonight? There was a man that, and I've said this before, that many times you pray, God, I want you to speak to me. I want you to deal with me, right? And many times we hear the voice of God in our giving. And God speaks to us. Well, it's 100, 1,000, 10,000, 20, whatever it is, God speaks to you. You ever heard the voice of God speak to you during an offering? There's a guy that his mind is open. Gave you.
give myself away.
I know it's been tough. I know you've only had enough oil to make one last cake.
I give myself away.
So you
can use me. I give myself away.
Let me allow you to walk in.
I give myself away.
Someone that I wasn't raised in this. my wife was. Thank God for that. Brother Frank, I've got kids now that don't have the luxuries that I never had. They're in the house of God. God's fixing to turn some things around in your life and your home, your genealogy, your generations to come. And I'm talking to every one of you.
Yes.
You put God where He belongs to be.
Amen.
And God will turn things around for you.
Yes.
And you'll walk in the city. Everywhere you go, and they say, they blessed.
That's right.
They blessed in the fields. Yes. And they're blessed in the cities. God, I thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your children that are here on a Wednesday night. I pray to God that You'd shower upon them blessings. I pray Your word, God, would find a spot inside their heart. Let it begin to root up inside them. Let them put You to the test. Bless their life, bless their home, bless their family. In the name that's above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we give You praise. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Find two or three people. Phone somebody. God bless you.